Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey guys, Dr. Thomas Retscher here, and I am super, super thrilled today to introduce my guest, Larry Hagner. Larry, are you ready to spread some positivity?
Let's do it!
Awesome, awesome. Guys, Larry Hagner, for those of you who don't know, is the founder of The Good Dad Project, a thriving podcast and resource for dads. Larry recognized that most fathers, including himself, enjoy parenting, but sometimes tend to internalize their struggles. This internalization, it can cause a father to not enjoy the journey of being a dad as much as they should. And Larry grew up virtually in a fatherless environment, not meeting his father until the age of 30. They have a great relationship now, but there was a lot of struggle in between. Through these struggles, Larry realized his passion for being a dad. He has a great wife and three boys, 8-year-old Ethan, 6-year-old Mason, and a 7-month-old Lawson. Larry is an everyday dad trying to do the best that he can. By the way, his book, The Dad's Edge, yes, it is a bestseller on Amazon, so definitely check it out. And guys, you can find him at www.gooddadproject.com. He's on all the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Larry, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you so much for having me, man. It's an honor. So you having a daily podcast, I mean, wow, that's big. That's a lot of responsibility. Good for you.
Yeah, no, I'm loving it. And I just, you know, connecting with awesome people like yourself, it's been so much fun.
Thank you. Thank you. You are way ahead of the curve when it comes to podcast production than I am. I can only crank out one show a week. I can't imagine every day, but good for you, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, but you know, you're doing big things. You got the book going. You know, you're doing speaking and courses and hey, man, you also got three kids and you're rocking it. So hats off to you too.
Thank you.
So it's interesting. You know, you got a bunch of kids. You know, tell us something funny or awesome that they did in like the last 24 hours.
Oh my God. So I'll start off something funny. My wife and I, you know, it's one thing about being a father, especially being a father with three, and especially being a father with three boys, you have to have a sense of humor. Otherwise, you'll just want to like jump off the roof every day because it just gets insane, right?
Right.
My wife and I joke that raising three boys is a lot like raising three drunks in your house at all times because someone is always like missing a shoe. Someone doesn't have pants on. There's pee everywhere. Somebody wants pancakes at like 10:30 at night. It's insane. But I would say, you know, I posted this actually not too long ago. My Lawson actually, he's my youngest. He's actually 22 months now, but he's got this obsession with Tupperware. And what he does is he goes into the cabinets, and we've got these cabinets with the Tupperware, and he literally throws out every piece of Tupperware. And we're talking probably like 50 pieces of Tupperware. And this happens every day. And you would think that, you know, we'd be smart enough to put those little locks on the cabinet. We don't, because we're like, you know
what's Larry, you know what's funny? My niece does the same exact thing. That's hilarious.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yeah, we've told everybody, hey, for Christmas, don't get him toys. Just we'll do a Pampered Chef party. He'll be in heaven.
That's awesome. So, are they starting to play sports? Some of the older ones.
Yeah, actually. So my 9-year-old Ethan, he's in Cub Scouts. So we do that together, he and I, which is so cool because I did Cub Scouts as a kid, but I was kind of half in, half out. But now it's like I kind of really understand the whole foundation and leadership that it provides, and we get to do that together. And then I coach my 7-year-old Mason. I coach his baseball team, and awesome. we're actually getting ready to start wrestling here at the beginning of November, and I coach his wrestling team too. So yes, we're big into sports. Sometimes I think, my gosh, we do too many sports because it's craziness. So, but it's fun.
It definitely, and you know, myself not having any kids, but just seeing my two nieces grow up, isn't it just incredible, like every single day when they're at this age, just they do something new that amazes you every single day.
They definitely do something new every single day. And some of those things, yeah, like when you use the word amazing, because sometimes you're like speechless and it could be in a good way or a bad way, because you're like, wow, wasn't expecting that one, but you know.
Right.
So yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. So Larry, we're here to talk about positivity today. We want to get some people thinking. So let me kick it off by asking you, in your opinion, what is the benefit of having overall positive outlook on life over a negative one?
I think the overall, and I, again, you know, man, I had to learn this the hard way. I think for a long time with my fatherhood journey, it wasn't until, you know, my oldest is 9, and it wasn't until about 4 years ago that I really kind of dove into how to be a better father, better man, because to be honest with you, I was terrible. I was terrible at it. I struggled through it, just awful. And I think one of the things that we struggle with most, to be honest with you, is perspective. And a lot of times, you know, we kind of struggle through things because maybe we don't equip ourselves with, you know, resources and strategy and different things that can just empower you as a father. And a lot of times, I mean, I can speak to this very directly, is I kind of had like that victim mentality for a long time. Like, I'm not good at this. Like, why do I suck at this? Like, this is really hard, you know? And then what I learned when I kind of started doing the Good Dad Project and started really diving into how do I be better? How do I just enjoy this? It's really asking yourself better questions. And it's really choosing, like consciously choosing to have a different perspective. And I know that kind of sounds like kind of Tony Robbins-ish, but it's absolutely true. And if you can choose to look at life, look at your struggles, look at your fatherhood journey, your relationships in a different way, you begin to gain confidence and you begin to enjoy it more. And it's so empowering. And it's actually so much simpler than what we think. But a lot of times our knee-jerk reaction to like a you know, when life throws us a curveball, is to default to kind of like that victim mentality and to ask ourselves maybe not the best questions and not the most empowering questions. And I think that's what I've really found, is that it boils down a lot to choice. But a lot of times it's like, okay, like how do I empower myself to make that choice? Like, what are the steps to get there? And that's really what we dive into on the podcast and in my book. And, cause it really does boil down to just that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I like that you mentioned that it's, you know, it was a process. This wasn't something that happened to, you know, for you overnight, where you were able to really build up this stronger mindset. And on the show, we like to talk about like a difficult moment in life or failure moment. And, you know, you kind of mentioned that 4 years ago, you really weren't at that point yet. So can you take us down to that ground level of that point, you know, 4 years ago, when maybe just being a dad, or you were just starting out in the process and you were stuck and maybe in that negativity mindset, and maybe how it really was led, how you got to that point?
Yeah. So sometimes this is actually kind of tough for me to talk about from time to time, but I'll definitely share it. I've shared it before. And really what I think I did for the first 5 years of my fatherhood journey is I just had this kind of defeated mindset, and I did it very, very quietly. I internalized so much of it. I mean, if you would ask people around me, they would have, you know, they tell you I'm happy, I'm positive, you know, and nothing ever gets to me, but that was far from the truth. I always liked to give this persona that I was always on top of everything, that I, you know, I had my stuff together, and I was really struggling inside. I was struggling with enjoying being a dad. I felt like I didn't know how to do it. I felt like I didn't have patience. I felt like I didn't have work-life balance. I felt like I started to lose the connection with my wife. I started to feel like I wasn't connecting with my kids, and like all these things. I mean, I grew up in just a kind of a chaotic childhood. You know, it was a fatherless environment in a way, but I did have father figures along the way. My mom was married, you know, 3 times, and then had relationships actually in between all of those marriages, and always like this really negative, you know, father figure in my life. It usually toxic, alcoholic, verbally abusive, sometimes physically abusive. So yeah. I really kind of had like this extreme experience of like what I didn't want to give my own kids, but I felt like I couldn't show up. Like I felt like I was doing a bad job of it. I knew what I didn't want to do, but I didn't know what to do. And that was like where I was stuck. And the Good Dad Project, sounds so bad to admit, but the Good Dad Project, I'll never forget the night that I started it because I was probably at an all-time low. I was stressed out at work, struggling father at the time. You know, Mason, my 7-year-old, he was 4. And we were trying to prep our house. We were thinking about moving, and I was packing a bunch of stuff. And I was going through my, you know, daily thing where I was quiet, defeated, you know, pissed off, and didn't have a lot of patience. And my son started, Mason started pulling stuff out of the boxes and throwing stuff all over the place. And I got so mad, I spanked him, and I spanked him hard. And he cried, and I literally went in my office, and I just was like, crap, like, what is wrong with me? And I know some people, it depends on what kind of camp you're in. Like, some people believe in spanking, and some people think it's the worst thing in the world.
Right,
I'm not here to say right or wrong, but I didn't want to do it. So I went in my office. I'm like, I'm tired of this. Like, I feel so bad about what I just did. And I feel like it was no fault of his. He's being a 4-year-old, and there's gotta be a way. There's gotta be a way to help me, like, not go through life like this and just feel this way. So that night I started the Good Dad Project Facebook page. And in the beginning, the Good Dad Project was me. I was the project. I was like, you know, I'm just going to try to learn how to do this better. And I'm just going to publicly share what I learned. And what happened that night, I guess, was awesome. You know, it was an all-time low, but it forced me to go out there and really research how to do this whole thing better and share what I'm learning. And it empowered me incredibly. And my life has been so different. Here's what I've learned about the Good Dad Project, though, is that now that I'm sharing all this stuff, like, all these men are coming out of the woodwork and, like, they're like, oh my gosh, me too. Like, oh my gosh, me too. I struggle with patience. I struggle with work-life balance. I feel like I'm losing my wife. I can't connect to my kids, all these things. So that's really where it kind of came from, was, to be honest with you, my fatherhood journey hitting an all-time low.
Wow, that's so powerful, Larry. And guys, you know, maybe you're in that same place. It could be with fatherhood. It could be with your job. It could be with nutrition. It could be with fit. It could be anything. And you may not know it at the time. And there may be something that you have to go through, or you went through it, and you may have to just take a step back and think about it and reflect on the experience. Because, you know, as you just heard from Larry, there was kind of this straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak, that it kind of helped him snap out of it and recognize, you know, that he was in this pattern of negativity in his mind, and helped him kind of flip the script and get back on a positive route. And Larry, now what you're doing with, like you said, just from the transparency of your story, there's so many guys coming out of the woodworks to connect with you. It's incredible.
It is. It's been so humbling. I mean, it's just been awesome. Like I said, the book, the Dad's Edge, I just published it on Amazon 3 weeks ago. It hit, you know, the bestsellers list. And I remember writing the book. And again, like, I'm just a dad, you know, sharing strategies that I had to learn the hard way. And I, you know, it's like, you see all these books on there, like, you know, these guys who are way smarter than me, you know, PhDs and authors and all this stuff. And so when I first launched the book, I was like, oh yeah, I hope a couple people pick it up, you know. And no, within 10 days, it hit the bestsellers list. And since then, the past 3 weeks have just been, I mean, it was pretty cool before because we had the podcast and the website and all that and the speaking events. But now, since the book has been in so many people's hands, it's just been like, I get emails all the time from these guys like, oh my gosh, it's like, finally somebody said it. Like, I feel this pain. And now I feel like I know how to get out of it, like, a little bit better, you know?
Yeah.
But it's almost taboo. Like, we don't want to share that stuff, but we are all struggling through it. You know, I heard a quote not too long ago that most men will live a quiet life of desperation, and that's absolutely true, but we don't have to.
That's awesome. And Larry, not to put too much pressure on you, but you're kind of a rock star, man, in the world of parenting right now.
Oh my gosh. I'm smiling from ear to ear when you say that, because, like, I mean, you know, it's funny. I don't feel that way from time
right,
to time.
Right.
I mean, because, like, I feel like fatherhood and parenting, it's a practice. It's nothing you ever master. I mean, like, I have, you know, just because, you know, I shared this on a podcast we had not too long ago, just because I have the blog and the book and the podcast, My house is, I don't want to give the persona that my house is not all sunshine and rainbows. People in my house, it's still, you know, there are some days you're like, crap, like this is really hard, you know, but enjoyable too.
So how much, you know, would you say through this project or even others listening, even if they don't have, you know, something that's out there for the public, you know, to share with them and teach them like you are. How has the Good Dad Project really worked? Like you said, that you ran out there and you just put the Facebook group up and you got started. How did that help with accountability, you know, in terms of yeah, helping keep you, like you said, there's still days where it's not all sunshine and rainbows, but you always have that in the back of your mind, right?
Yeah. I mean, my gosh, it's like the elephant in the room every day. And the cool thing about, you know, having the Good Dad Project, the podcast and the book, is it does, oh God, it keeps me so accountable because I mean, there are times, I mean, and you'll find out when you're a dad as well, you have these situations that pop up on a daily basis in your life, the life curveballs and all that stuff. And you want to default and respond a certain way. And the cool thing about like doing this and being on this journey is that I've really learned the power of perspective and the power of choice. And sometimes, I mean, my gosh, every day, like sometimes I come home and I'm like, I want to default to that old me, but I'm just like, you know what? No, I'm not going to do that. Here's what I'm going to do instead. Make a very conscious choice to do something different. And it usually results in something. Does it work every single time? No, but it does work the majority of the time. And life has gotten incredibly better since. I mean, you know, it's been so therapeutic, to be honest with you.
That's amazing. And guys, if you know, if you're listening and you are struggling with something right now, Larry just said it, you have the power of perspective, you have the power of choice. You can take what you're going through and it could be a negative impact on your life, and the sky can be falling, or you can use it to maybe go out and create a Facebook group. Go out and just start connecting with people online. Even if there's no one in your immediate life that is helping you with the matter, and people will reach out to you, they'll hold you accountable and they'll help walk you through that process.
Yeah. You know, can I actually share, you know, a personal example?
Sure.
Yeah. So since I've been doing this now for 3 years, and like I said, I've had the opportunity to interact with so many fathers, and the cool thing about it is for instance, my workshops and writing the book is that I get to teach. But I am like, I'm a sponge. Like I consider myself kind of a learning machine. Like I always want to know more. And a lot of the strategies that are in the book, like I've gotten to learn from other dads that are way smarter than me. You know, they've been dads way longer than me. And I will tell you, I want to share this example because it's one of the most real examples on a daily basis that a father goes through. And since I've talked about it for the past few years, other dads have like come out of the woodwork and can relate to this particular example so much. And the hardest time of day, usually for a father, is coming home after work. And I've gotten so much feedback on like, oh my gosh, yeah, like I feel so worn out. I feel like I have no patience. I feel so defeated. And now like I walk in my house and I want to come home to like this sanctuary and it's not there. So it's like, I just came from all this work and now I've got all this double work and I was truly no different. So I'll give you some tips from the book if you want on how to get through that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely share that.
Yeah. So one of the things I talk about in the book is every single chapter, there's 9 chapters, but every single chapter has nuggets of information of how to have more patience. So like for instance, I would say 90% of men out there, we have high work ethic, you know, we're wired to hunt, gather, all that good stuff. But usually for the most part, most men are not living like their dream job from 9 to 5. So we as men, again, we internalize a lot of things. People usually want something from us every minute of every day. You've got emails, you've got deadlines, you have obligations, and it can be freaking exhausting. And then when you're on your way home from work, you know, you're usually like decompressing and you're like starting to kind of come down. And the hardest thing about a man's day usually is that 5 seconds when he gets out of his car and he walks in his front door. And usually what we do, and I did this for so long and I regret it awful, is we just walk in. We don't prep for the evening. We just walk in and we usually walk in and we're not so much fun to be around. Wife is like, hey, how was your day? And I was fine. It was good. You know, the kids are rowdy. There's usually a mess. I mean, and usually that sets us up for the exact opposite of what we want out of our evening, because we want that happiness. We want that connection. You know, we desperately want it, but a lot of times we don't prepare for it. A couple of the strategies that I've learned over the past couple of years is, again, this is the hardest part of the day for most dads. So what I've usually told dads to do, there's three things you can do. Number one, you can, if you feel defeated on your way home from work, don't turn on the news. Don't turn on talk radio. Put on something positive. Put on something positive, like a positive podcast, an audiobook, maybe some music that you work out to, and then fill your mind and your spirit with something positive to get you out, to break that pattern of defeat and get your mind elsewhere. The main point here is to be proactive and to prep. Just as you, like, I mean, I'll use you as an example. Before you host any podcast, what are you doing 5 minutes before you get on, before you hit that record button?
Right. Just prepping. Yeah. Like thinking about everything I'm going to say. I'm even actually rehearsing it out loud before I even speak to you, just so it's, once we get on, I feel so much more comfortable and almost had walked through the conversation in my head.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things we dads do is we don't take that couple minutes before we walk in, and it's like kind of doing this podcast and you didn't prep anything for it, or neither did I. We wouldn't show up as big for it, and coming home is no different. So that's one thing you can do to just kind of change your mindset. Another thing you can do is, like, literally visualize, how are you going to greet, you know, your family? How are you going to, what questions are you going to ask about their day to start the evening off in the right mindset? One other thing that you can do, and I do this a lot, but it's, if the top two don't work for you, and you just have, because I mean, there are days, man, I'm coming home and I'm like, God, you know, it's just, it's not working for me today. Like, I'm just done, right? So sometimes what you have to do is you have to do something externally dramatic to bring what you want to see. And what I mean by that is, I'll visualize myself walking in the door, high-fiving my kids. Maybe I'll throw one up over my shoulder. You know, I'll dip my wife down, kiss her. And believe it or not, when I do this stuff, I'm like, oh, this is pretty corny. Like, but at the same time, people in my house are laughing. They're smiles.
That's awesome. You
know? Yeah. And people, you know, it's a whole different environment versus walking in, shoulders slumped down, defeated. You know, my wife always used to tell me, I always knew how the night was going to roll by the first 10 seconds you walked in the door. I always knew if it was going to be a good night or a bad night. And I can tell you, since I've done just those three things, and they're so simple, just as you prep for an interview, just as you prep for a presentation in front of clients, or even in like an athletic event, if you played high school football, I mean, what did you do 5 minutes before you hit the field? You prepped, you got in that mindset. Being a father and that time of day, it's no different. What you're going to find is deeper connection. You will have more patience, believe it or not. That day that defeated you, somehow, some way, gets put behind you, and you show up much bigger and better for those kids. And again, the reason I can speak to this stuff is because I was so incredibly bad at it. I was so bad at it, and I regret it terribly. But what I've noticed is that just that one strategy alone has helped a lot of men, and it's helped me too.
That's great, and I love what you said, because it's kind of, there's themes in there that it could really apply to anything, you know, that you're saying stop and think. You're saying visualize, you know, do something crazy for someone. And we like to talk on the show a lot about paying it forward, and I think that's kind of what you're doing every time you come home. And you do that for your family and make them laugh in that way. You know, you're, like you said, sometimes there's days that this day is not working for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just so difficult. But you're switching the focus from yourself, and you're saying, how can I influence the other people in the room? And you're almost kind of paying it forward, because maybe you're not actually giving them something physically, or, you know, even if it wasn't your family, you're not giving something of monetary value, but you're uplifting the spirits of the people in that room. And that's just so I think that's one of the biggest things we can do in life. Once, you know, that's the quickest way. Like, when we're struggling with something, you can go out, you can help someone, you can, you know, go to a homeless shelter. Like, you can be struggling with anything in life, and you can go out and help somebody, and it will immediately fix the way that you're feeling. And I think that's amazing that you do that every day, or, you know, most days. I'm sure it's not always easy, but when you realize, let me not think about what happened to me during my day and say, all right, let me flip it and say, and help out everybody else in this room and lift them up and lift their spirits up. That's amazing.
It does help. I mean, because sometimes, I mean, even though you got like little kids or teenagers, I mean, God only knows, and my wife too. I mean, like right now, my wife is pregnant with our fourth kid. I mean, she's exhausted and we've got a, you know, 2-year-old. Thank you. Yeah. And people actually stop saying congratulations once you say you have four. It's kind of funny. People are like, wow, you just need to knock that off. But, you know, it's cool because like, you know, you never know the people that are living under your own roof. You never know the trials and tribulations and some of the things that they have gone through in that day. And sometimes by bringing the energy that you so desperately crave yourself, believe it or not, the people on the other side of that front door of your house, they are probably craving it too. And sometimes you can really be like the hero walking through the door, even if, to be honest with you, even if it's freaking fake, even if it's fake. I mean, Muhammad Ali had a great quote. And I think I'm gonna butcher it a little bit, but it was along the same lines of like, if you don't believe you're the champion, just fake it. And I mean, the guy, you know, he always said out loud what he was going to do, how he was going to do it. And it was like, and he just brought it no matter what, whether he felt it 100% of the time or not, we don't know, but he brought it every time. And the thing that he did was inspire people around him. And being a father, you've got that same opportunity. So like sometimes if you're not in that mindset and you don't feel genuine about bringing that kind of energy, still just bring it, just do it, because you're going to give something to those people around you that they didn't have before you walked in the door.
I like that you mentioned about, you know, your wife can pick up so quickly as soon as you walk in the door, you know, and recognize what kind of day you had. You know, she's able to pick up on that energy that you're kind of just emitting from yourself. And I've been reading this book lately. It's called 4 Seconds by Peter Bregman. And he mentioned a story. It was kind of similar to the story of how you explain how you're kind of coming in and just doing something crazy, you know, for your kids and your wife when you come in just to get them to laugh. He told this story about how he went out to dinner with his wife and he was supposed to meet at a certain time and he was late. And his immediate knee-jerk reaction was to say, oh, it was because of, you know, the office. It was because of the office. It was because of a meeting. And it was because of what happened to him. And then he said when he realized that that really wasn't what she wanted to hear, when he recognized and he flipped the script on her and said, and recognized that it was, you know, honey, I'm sorry I'm late. I didn't really appreciate your time. It made the night that much better.
Yeah, I agree. That's an excellent example too.
It always comes back. Because most of the time we're so wrapped up in ourselves. And then when we're able to put it on outside of ourselves, it always comes back, you know, so much better to us.
I couldn't agree more.
So Larry, I want to talk about mentorship, you know, because you said, you know, once you had that kind of light bulb moment a few years back and you wanted to start building, you know, the Good Dad Project, who is someone that was a mentor in your life that really has helped you get to the point that you are today?
Oh boy. You know, it's a great question. I think I sought out several in several different, you know, facets. I used to kind of be obsessed with podcasts that I really enjoyed. I think the first podcast that I really kind of got into for just self-improvement was The Art of Charm. And if you know who Jordan Harbinger is, he's got a podcast called The Art of Charm. He's been doing it for years. And really, if you get to the heart and soul of that podcast, it's being a better person. I think when he first got started out, it was coaching for men who, it was kind of like Hitch, right? Like it was advice for people, for men who were trying to meet women. But you get to the heart and soul of his content, it was so impactful because it was more of how to become a more empowering, confident man. I mean, everything from body language to how you talk, use your voice, everything from how you interact with people, you know, it was fascinating to me. And I think that's why I got really intrigued with it. Then I started reading a lot of books. I got involved with like the Tony Robbins books, John Maxwell. I went to Tony Robbins' event last year in Dallas. I went to
Awesome.
It was great.
Unleash the Power Within?
Yeah.
Oh, Dallas. Man. Wasn't that incredible?
Did you go?
I went to one in New Jersey a couple years ago. It was, all right, ready? Like, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You probably get the same experience. Anytime somebody talks about it again, I get chills in my arms.
Yeah.
Because it was just that incredible of an experience. Just like screaming, jumping on tops of chairs and hugging people I'd never met before. It was amazing.
It was. I mean, it really was. I mean, so yeah, the mentors that I really got, I mean, and then I kind of sought out, I sort of changed the inner circle of friends that I surrounded myself with. And that's actually a chapter in my book. It's called Choose Your Peers Wisely, because the people that you surround yourself with, Jim Rohn has a great quote, says, you know, you're the average of the five people you spend the majority of your time with. And it's absolutely right. And that's everything from income to education to social status to sphere of influence, positivity, life impact, everything. And what I found was that I really had to surround myself with people who had the same heartfelt kind of mission I did, which was, you know, being a better father. And what I found is that I got to surround myself with people that were way smarter than me and fathers who had been doing it longer than I have, and just try to be a sponge of all those guys were just mentors to me that I kind of surrounded myself with, because I was able to learn and garner something from all of them. And so I guess I can't, to answer your question, I can't pin it down to one. I guess it originally started, you know, 7 years ago when I found Jordan Harbinger and some of his, you know, just improving yourself content. And then it steamrolled into, you know, all the other ones that I mentioned. And I still try to sharpen that sword as much as I can, as far as like trying to grow and, you know, improve myself. And because I think that's the thing, like, as we as dads, sometimes we think it's very selfish to take time for self-improvement, for self-care.
Right.
But to be honest with you, it's the most unselfish thing you can do is to make sure you are at your best so you can give your best to your kids. And one quick example of that, if you think about 60 minutes, okay? If you take 60 minutes with your kids and you're like at 50% of yourself, I mean, how impactful and how great is that 60 minutes going to be? Now, kind of flip that. Let's just say you took 30 minutes of that time that you would normally spend 60 minutes and you just invested into something that is going to make you a little bit better, whether it's a podcast, a book, or, you know, taking time, maybe even going for a run to improve your health. The 30 minutes that you spend with your kids versus 60, the quality is going to be increased tenfold, because now you know how to show up better. You're going to be a better you. So, and if you ask your kids, they'll tell you, I would much rather spend 30 minutes of high quality time with you rather than 60 minutes where you're crabby and moody.
Oh man, that's so powerful, Larry. Wow. It's like you don't even, it's like framing it. It's all perspective. You think, I spent 2 hours today with them, but meanwhile, mentally you weren't even there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
wow. And I think not even just our kids. We do that with our family, we do that with our friends, with our coworkers, you know.
We do. I mean, I think of, I use this example a lot, like when it comes to trying to have boundaries with technology, and because gosh, it's so hard to get sucked into like Facebook and texting and all this stuff. And I always think about it as like, you know, it's probably rude of me to spend 60 minutes with my kid and then spend, you know, 10 minutes of that whole 60 minutes on my phone, like checking Facebook and checking Twitter and all. And I think about that. The analogy I like to use is like, hey, think of yourself as a single man. And if you took out a woman on a date and you were out to dinner for 2 hours and she spent 30 minutes of her time on her phone responding to texts, you'd be so insulted. And not to mention, you wouldn't remember the other hour and a half of the time you had with her. You'd only be thinking like, God, 30 minutes of the time, how rude was she? She spent her time on the phone, you know?
Right. That's crazy. That's so powerful. It's all perspective. Wow.
Yeah.
So Larry, you mentor, you're a mentor now.
Yes.
You know, and you're really helping so many people to not only be a better dad, but be a better person too. So share with us maybe one, you know, I'm sure you've had so many, one of the most gratifying moments that you've experienced through this whole process.
Wow. Yeah. So I get pretty deep here. So if you go to my site, gooddadproject.com, there's a part of, you know, the project that I don't advertise. You know, I've got the book, the blog, the podcast. But what you won't find on that website is coaching. And that's because I keep my coaching clients very confidential. They men don't like to be known as, you know, hey, I need some help, or can you give me some advice? They like to keep that very, very quiet.
Right.
Which, you know, I respect. So I never will ask a client for a testimonial. I'll never ask them for a referral, or anything like that. I keep that very quiet. I would say this, you know, this happened about a year ago. I had a gentleman reach out to me, and this email was like so heartfelt. Like, I could tell the guy just wanted the same place I was, you know, just very heartfelt, wanted to enjoy his journey of fatherhood. Felt like he wasn't showing up good and for his kids. And he had a challenging childhood growing up. And so I was like, you know, he asked me a variety of questions over email. And I said, you know what? I was like, this is a lot of information. I think we should just get on a Skype call so I can talk to you face to face. And so he agreed. In that Skype call, he shared something with me that I was shocked. He told me that he was suicidal, had suicidal thoughts.
Wow.
He was up to the point where he felt like his family would be better off without him. And to share something like that, I was like, first of all, I complimented him. Like, you know, what you just shared with me, I know wasn't easy. And you just sat here and told me about how you're weak. And, you know, you don't show up well and you're not motivated, but you did two things. Number one, you emailed me all these things that you're struggling with. Number two, you just admitted what you did. Well, I'm sorry. You just admitted what you're thinking. That takes a lot of guts. And I want you to recognize that. That takes a lot of courage, what you just said. And then I ended up working with him for a couple months. You know, we had coaching calls together, and I'm happy to say he's doing phenomenal, you know, and it just took him, you know, just a guide, you know, just sometimes all you need to do with men is just point them in the, number one, relate to them, you know, hey, you're not alone. Like, I've been down the road you're going, relate to them and just point them in the right direction. Because here's the thing, most men will not stop and ask for directions. Same thing with fatherhood, but we desperately, desperately want direction. Because once we have direction, it's like, okay, now I have a guide. Now I know what to do. I'm happy to say that the guy has just been so overflowing with gratitude of basically saying, I saved his life.
Wow.
I share that very humbly, because like, I never would have thought in a million years you could have that impact on somebody, but he's doing so good now and he is enjoying it, and you can tell he enjoys it, and I still stay in touch with him, but it was dramatic, you know?
Wow. Larry, for people that know me personally, you know, they say like, oh, you know, I'm that guy like that just dances a lot of parties and he's, you know, I'm emotional sometimes, but you know, just being transparent myself, man, that story, you got me in tears right now, man. That was incredible. And I had the hair on my arm is standing up. And I just think that's just one of the most amazing things that we have the opportunity to do in life, is to help someone like that and pay it forward. And you don't even, sometimes we don't even think we're worthy to help someone else. You know, guys, if you're listening and you're struggling with something, you could go out today and you can go help somebody. It could be small as you go to get a cup of coffee and you ask that person behind the counter how their day was. And literally it'll make you feel that much better. And Larry, amazing story. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Oh, no problem. I mean, I think you kind of really hit the nail on the head, because like, for such a long time, and I still, you know, still this day, it's like, well, who am I? Like, you know, who am I to help somebody? Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I still struggle through this. Like, but I think there's something to be said for exactly what you said, that you can use one of the coolest things about this project is I've gotten to interact with so many fathers and people. And the thing is that behind every face, there's a story, and behind every story, there's struggle. You know, there is a struggle there. The cool thing about going through a struggle though, is that you can use that struggle one of two ways. You can use that struggle to defeat your own life, or you can use that struggle to empower others. And I guess maybe, you know, just thinking out loud, is that maybe what I've done is I've taken my struggles and some of my humility and some of the things that I've been, you know, I've struggled through terribly. And I guess the thing is I've shared them, and just by sharing them and giving like some of the feedback on how I've overcome them, perhaps the struggle in itself is what's helping. You know, it helps people relate you know, because I always like to use the analogy of, I remember growing up and watching professional wrestling, and there was always this couple of wrestlers. One was Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, and Mr. Perfect. And those guys were like the most hated guys in wrestling because they...
Speaking of wrestling, there's a big pay-per-view on Sunday. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah?
But go ahead.
But I mean, those guys were like the most hated guys in wrestling because like they just walked around the, you know, how awesome they were. And the thing is no one relates to perfection. No one relates to awesomeness. I mean, no one wants to hear how awesome you are at work and how phenomenal your son is at soccer. And what people relate to is the everyday stuff. You know, they relate to the things that they're going through. And that's really, I guess, the information that we provide is, number one, you're not alone. Number two, if you want to come forward and talk about these things, you are a way stronger person than you think, because it's the weak person that will hold it in. It's the weak person that doesn't reach a hand out for some help. It takes a lot of strength and a lot of courage to reach out and be like, I want to be better at this. Show me how. Those are the strong ones. So I want to make sure that your listeners like really understand that. It's with any aspect in life, whether you're a father, an employee. The day you stop, even an employee, the day you say, I am awesome at my job and I'm, you know, I know everything, that's the day you probably become pretty invaluable to your company. The person who's always wanting to learn and be better and is open to that, those are the people that thrive.
Wow, I love that. The day that you think that you're awesome, whether it's at work or anything in life, is the day that you become invaluable. That's powerful. Thank you.
I guess I should rephrase that. Maybe not awesome, because, you know, hey, you should have confidence. I guess the day that you feel that you know it all and there's nothing more to learn, that's the day that you probably become invaluable.
Because we're everything that we have in life, or it's from our experiences, it's from others that have helped us. And it's like the moment that it's like, I'm the one that made this happen. That's where you really lose the focus, I guess.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
So we're going to wrap up the show a little bit. You know, we've been talking about positivity. We've been talking about mindset. I just want to take a quick second and talk about nutrition. How do you incorporate healthy eating and exercise into your life to build a strong mindset?
Yeah. I can't remember the guy's name now. The guy who owns Virgin Records brand.
I know. Oh my God, I'm blanking too.
Yeah, you're blanking. I can't remember his name. But anyway, the guy who owns that, he's like a gazillionaire, right? And you know, he's got all these different businesses. And
Richard Branson.
Richard Branson. Yes, that's it. Richard Branson. He, you know, people always have asked him, you know, hey, what's your secret to success? Like, my gosh, and, you know, look at you. And he always says two words: workout. And even though I don't even think workout is two words, but he always says two words: workout.
Workout.
Exercise and eating healthy. It's actually even, there's a segment of that in my book. It's critical. It's absolutely critical because part of who we are, there's really five pieces to us. There's physical, mental, emotional, intuition, spiritual. If you let one of those five things go, as we as busy dads, a lot of times we will let our physical, you know, part of us go. You're letting a big piece of you go that's going to wear and tear on your enjoyment of being a father, your stress level, and your overall happiness and quality of life. So absolutely, if you can eat properly, and I'm not saying you have to like, you know, eat spinach at every meal and that kind of, because it's hard for us to do that with busy fathers. But if you can eat properly the majority of the time, if you can, I always say in my book, I take 30 to 60 minutes every day, do something active, because what you'll find in that 30 to 60 minutes, a lot of people are like, well, if I do that for an hour, I lose an hour of being productive at work. That's actually not true. People who are active are actually, I think it's 40% more productive in less time. So even though maybe you have an 8-hour day, if you take 1 hour to exercise, you'll be 40% more productive in those 7 hours instead of, you know, kind of 8 crappy ones.
Awesome. Thank you.
But yeah, absolutely critical.
Excellent. All right. And Larry, if you were stranded on an island with your family, of course, what is one book that you would want with you?
Yeah, my own. No, I'm kidding.
Yes.
No.
The Larry Hagner Survival Guide.
Yeah, no, actually, no, not my book. I think one of the best books I ever wrote. And if you go to our podcast and look up episode number 28, we actually just released it during this week here, I think October 19th. We had a guest on there, Mark Devine, who is a Navy SEAL commander and a New York Times bestseller. And I've kind of been a groupie of his. Like, I read his book called Unbeatable Mind a year ago, and I kind of became like obsessed with it. I read it 3 times. I even bought the audio platform because I wanted to hear the words. And then I bought it for everyone who works for me. And then to have him on the show was just unbelievable. But Unbeatable Mind by Mark Devine, if you ever want to really figure out how the mind works, you know, self-improvement, self-growth, I call that book like the matrix of how far that guy goes down the rabbit hole of mental toughness. And it's so readable. It's so readable though. Like, it just, it's so impactful. It has so much great information. It will change your life. It's just a gem. I would definitely pick it up. Mark Devine, Unbeatable Mind.
Awesome. And yeah, his episode that you did with him was amazing. That was jam packed with so much stuff.
Oh, it was. It was so cool. And actually I was just floored and humbled. He emailed me after I emailed him. I'm like, hey, thanks for coming to the show. I love your stuff. And he's like, yeah, awesome. He's like, what are you doing on October 26th? I want to have you on my podcast. And I'm like, holy crap. Like,
wow.
Yeah. I was like, we're actually recording. I'm recording a show with him on his podcast on Monday. I'm not sure when he's going to launch it, but if you go to Mark Devine's podcast, which I believe his podcast calls the Unbeatable Mind Podcast, I'll be on there as well. But that's just packed with great information as well.
Awesome. So Larry, man, I am so inspired by what you're doing, you know, just not just for people in general, but also very specifically for dads. So thank you so much for sharing your personal stories. Give our listeners one last word of wisdom and we'll say goodbye.
Yeah. So I think, I'll actually quote Mark Devine here, because the way he ended our interview is just phenomenal, which is, be prepared. One day, one life. One day, one life. And what that means is, be prepared to win the day and be prepared to win the day in your mind. You know, he gave a great example of, if you don't prepare your mind for victory, if you just march out, and this is a guy who's a Navy SEAL commander, he's seen a lot of things. If you don't take time to mentally prep to be your best, if you don't take time to plan and brief before you march out onto the battlefield, you are going to get your butt handed to you. And the same goes for fatherhood. Take time to mentally prep your mind, your spirit, to show up big. Give yourself permission to go out there and get resources to become the best version of you. Because going back to that 60 minutes and 30 minutes with your kids, take that time to be your best so you can give them quality. It doesn't matter how much quantity, it matters the quality. So be prepared to win the day, one life. If you were going to live today and today was your last day, although we hope it's not, what are you going to do to show up in your very best way? And that's what I would end the show with.
One day, one life. I love it, Larry. So our audience, they're well aware they can find links, everything that we mentioned in today's episode, by going to positivityeffect.com, clicking on the podcast tab and finding you in the archives, or just putting your name in the search bar. So again, thank you so much. You've been so generous with your time, your stories, your energy. And I think we've definitely been empowered by your positivity, Larry. So be well.
You too.
And we'll talk soon. Take care.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests each and every Monday. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency and compassion and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. I would also love to hear from all of you, so please write to me, because every Sunday I'm going to share an inspiring story from one of the listeners, just like yourself. If you have a story where you exhibited compassion towards someone or you paid it forward, I'd love to hear about it. So thanks again. If you love the show, please head over to iTunes, leave a review. It means the world. Take care and talk to you next Monday.